And good morning, I'm glad to be here. I think I know a number of you through the years, and so good to see you all again. We want to talk about the heart of God, and that is, He sent His Son down here as the great missionary, the first missionary to the earth. And now our Lord Jesus is training people up in His school, which is the church. The church is His school where He teaches through leadership about the importance of reaching those lost people out there, because eternity in hell is horrible. It's never ending. They have a worm that is eating inside of them, according to Jesus, and they are gnashing their teeth and weeping at all times. So the destiny of man and woman in our neighborhoods is very grim. And we're the people that with a message. We have a message of good news. We know how to proclaim a message that will free them from that eternity in hell with the demons and with the devil, and bring them to be with Jesus and all the good angels up there and all of the redeemed souls through the centuries. So today we're going to talk about an amazing, amazing work that's going on. It's the most amazing in all the universe. All the angels are watching it. In fact, even the devil and his angels are watching it. Because it's God, God the Son, building His church. Building His church. One individual at a time. One soul at a time. Building blocks. Building blocks. To form a church that will serve God for all eternity in heaven. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find out that it says that what Peter taught us in 1 Peter 2, that we're a royal priesthood, and the royal priesthood will be serving God for all eternity. Chapters 1, 5, and 20 tell us that in the book of Revelation. So this is a vital function for our lives, is coming to church and being taught by those who God has gifted to teach. Pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, and this is where we learn how to live differently than what we learned before we were saved. Because before we were saved, we lived in the kingdom of darkness. And the dominion of darkness was Satan's control. Jesus called him the God of this world. And that's who he is. And the things you see going on in television and the movies and in internet and whatever else, that's the kingdom of darkness in operation, entertaining people and putting them to sleep so that they will slip into darkness forever. So this amazing work is going on today. And like I said, all the angels are watching, and we'll show you that at the end of this message, how they're doing that. The amazing work is that Jesus Christ is saving people. He's rescuing them. He's taking them out of the kingdom of darkness. But let's see his mindset on this. Let's turn to John chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 19 and 20. And for those who are using the Bibles in the pew, that would be page 164. 164. Now I'm going to ask the Lord for help as we turn, and then we'll proceed. Father, I only want to say what you want me to say. I don't want to say anything on my own, because that's the pattern that you taught my Lord Jesus. And I need your help, Holy Spirit, because you're the only one that can really, really bring out with power the Word of God. And you're also able to open the ears of the men and women here
so that they hear and that it comes deep into their heart and their minds and brings about results. Glory to our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, John 5, verses 19 and 20. Now, these are important verses, so I have a few things to say about them after I read them. Verse 19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you may marvel." Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? God the Father and God the Son, the relationship between the two. And obviously, before Jesus came to this earth through the virgin birth, they were obviously working together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all eternity. But then Jesus leaves heaven, the Son of God leaves heaven and comes down to the earth. So now he wants us to know how important that relationship is within the Godhead, and that the Father has a plan and the Son is going to execute that plan. Now, this is important because if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find out the first blessing. What does Jesus say? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. This is the key of being poor in spirit. It is not saying, I have the answer. My Father has the answer. My Father has the answer. So this is the fountainhead of all blessings from God. It shows us that God's mission comes from the Father's mind, and he sent his Son to accomplish that mission. And his Son has now employed us. He's included us in this glorious mission where all the angels in all the universe are watching. Because it's astounding. It's astounding that men and women can be rescued from the eternity in darkness. Okay, so that's the reason for the church, is that Jesus, after he rescues people, needs to put them somewhere where we can learn together. And that is the mission of this church. All praise be to our Lord. Now, let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at how this work goes on with the Father and the Son. Colossians chapter 1, page 1178 in your pew Bible. So John 5:19 is the key to success, to victory, and following God's plan. And if I may just remind you as we turn to Colossians 1, if you remember, if you read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you'll see that the Lord would say to Moses, "Now, I want you to build that tabernacle, and I want you to do every piece of furniture according to the measurements I give you. You do just as." You see, the Father has been giving this instruction to other men and servants of God for all since creation. And he would say, "Now measure that so many cubits this way, so many that way. Cover it over with gold. Cover it over with bronze, whatever the instrument was. Put the curtains up. The curtains had a certain color pattern, scarlet, blue, purple, and white. Scarlet for the blood, purple for heaven, blue for heaven, purple for royalty, and white for purity." And every curtain around that tabernacle had these patterns with cherubim on them, because the cherubim have a role in heaven over the blessed Lord Jesus Christ as his anointed helpers. So everything comes from the Father to the Son to his workers, you and I. That's the pattern. Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14. We'll just read these. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, which he accomplished on the cross with his blood for the atonement of sins. So here is the mission of our Lord Jesus. He came to provide a propitiation for our sins, or atonement, so that he could redeem people like us who turn to him by faith, trusting him, believing him, receiving his grace, receiving his mercy, his loving kindness, and forgiveness. And this is the work that brings people in to his church. And now, God wants us to see how glorious his Son is in accomplishing this work. So let's read verse 15 on a little bit. It says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. When Jesus came, it says in John 1, he revealed to us who the Father is. When you watch Jesus, you see how he acts with people and how God the Father would act with people. And Hebrews chapter 1 tells us the same thing. The firstborn of all creation, that is not chronological, that is rank. He's first in rank, the Greek word would tell you. And here it's proven out. Verse 16. For by him, by Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Isn't that amazing? That's the head of the church, right here. Right here. First Baptist of Newton, okay? Who's the head? Jesus Christ. And he's called people like Tommy and others, the elders, to watch over the church and help instruct the church so that we're ready for heaven, so that we're ready for the work that God has for us for all eternity. My friends, this little life here is nothing compared to what's coming. It's glorious what's ahead of us. Glorious. It enables men and women in certain countries even today to suffer prison and beatings and being put to death. Why? Because they know that the future is glorious. And Jesus has all power. All power. He holds all things together. He created all things. He knows all things. He's to have preeminence. He's to have first place. Now, I have to ask myself a question here in front of you. Does he have first place in my life? Now, I have to ask you a question. Does he have first place in your life? Interesting question, isn't it? But God's design is that he's to have preeminence in everything. When I go to work on Monday, or when I go to the supermarket, or when I help the kids in school, whatever it might be, preeminence. Let me read 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So that's how God is drawing people out of the kingdom of darkness and putting them into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless the Father draws you, you cannot come to him. Only as we're drawn by the Father. And that's the Father's business. Obviously, he's been talking to you. That's why you're here. All glory to him. You're here because God has done something in your life. And he's working on you right now. And may he fill your heart with joy and thanksgiving for everything he's done. Everything he's done. Okay, now we have to go to another spot. Okay, are you ready? Let's go to Luke chapter 10. All right? Because we're still thinking about this design that the Father has. The Father has a design. So Luke 10, and I think, let's see, what would that be? Page 1035. See, I did a little homework before I came. I checked in your Bible in the pew. I got the pages out. I'm a good boy, you know. Chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Now, this is interesting. You've got to hold on to this one, okay? It's going to make you think, but we have to think because we're in the kingdom of God. All right, 21. At that very time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father. Stop right there. There's the Trinity. There's the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Rejoicing together. Now, what are they rejoicing over? Here we go. I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. We were just reading Ephesians 1 earlier. There's a lot of Ephesians 1 in here, my friends. Okay, let's get to this business about God hiding it from the wise and the intelligent. God is not impressed by man's pride, arrogance, haughtiness, and like he has all the answers type stuff. Like the age that we live in right now, man doesn't even want to think about God. He doesn't even want to give him any credit. He just wants to think he's got a plan to protect himself on his own without God. What foolishness. God knows this. God hates pride. He hates it. He gives grace to the humble, but he hates pride. Tommy mentioned it earlier as he was talking earlier in the service about how truly, unless we're converted as children and become as children, we cannot see the kingdom. Isn't that something that Jesus would teach, something like that? You see, when he was ministering on this earth, he had a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and others around him harassing him because he was telling the truth. But they were telling lies. They were proud. They were self-righteous. I don't need a Savior. Oh, look at me. I'm important. God says, no, you're not. No, you're not. Just in your mind you are. Little children, how do they respond when they have problems? Who do they go to when they have needs? What do they do when they're hungry? They go to mama and papa. Right? Independence. I depend on my mother and father. I depend on my father and mother. I depend for this, for security, for significance, for reason for living. I depend on which way I'm going to go. Am I going to go this way today or that way? And that's how we are to be with our Father. The Apostle Paul found this out, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and let's see what he found out. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me see what page that is. It's, I guess it's 1111, is that right? Did you find it? You okay? Okay. Here we go. The Apostle Paul is addressing the church in Corinth. Okay? Interesting church because it had all sorts of ups and downs, had reasons for people to, you know, question what was going on there. But still, God had the gospel get there and people were saved. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 26 to the end of the chapter. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, notice it says, not many wise. Thank God some wise people do make it. Not many noble, but thank God some of them do make it. Okay? Because we need them. We need people with good, sound intelligence and ability to help the church. But not many. Not many. See, God is scanning Newton for just the people that need help. Just the people who've been humbled by circumstance in their life and are struggling. Maybe they're struggling in their marriage, struggling financially, struggling with their children, struggling with whatever. They need help. God knows it. God knows it. And if we individually here will just say, Father, is there someone down my street that's struggling like that? Is there someone at work like that, that you give me an opportunity to talk to him or her? What do you think he will answer? What do you think he will answer? He'll show you. He'll show you. As a young Christian, I remember, I was just starting out, and I was in a church, and someone told me to pray Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. And I did that. I was praying for an opportunity to share. And the first two times I got an answer, I messed it up. I messed it up. People came and they were open and I just completely fumbled the ball. But I didn't give up because I tried a third time and I prayed it and someone came and I got a chance to share the gospel. And I went home like this. Oh, my, God does answer prayer. He does answer prayer. He hears us. He loves us. Look at the cross. Does he love us? Would God the Son be nailed to a piece of wood and then hoisted up and all the gravity pulled all of his muscles and tendons and bones and ripped him inside and out, so that people like us in Newton could be forgiven. Only love could do that. Only eternal love. And that's who you are. Those who He loves. Those who He loves for eternity. Well, I'm sure you're getting tired by now, but I have to go one more spot. So we have to go to Luke 15. And I think that's in page 1043. Luke 15. And remember I said that a lot of spectators watching this amazing work going on? Angels. So we're going to take a look here. What Jesus teaches us. Okay. Am I okay time-wise here? I think just short. Luke 15, the first two verses. Now, all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." There's the wise and the humble. There's the noble, because they were the leaders of the society, with the foolish, weak, despised, abased, afflicted people. Okay? So there's the audience. Verse 3. So, Jesus is going to teach a lesson because of this audience. Okay? The audience is there. He says, so he told them a parable, saying. Now, you know this parable about the shepherd that had 100 sheep, and one of them got lost up in the mountains, and the 99 was still grazing there, and he left the 99, and he went to look for the lost one, right? You know that, I believe. So I'll just pick it up in verse 5. And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, and he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven. There it is. The angels are rejoicing. The universe is rejoicing over your life when you came to Jesus by faith. And it goes on to say, the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You see, that one crowd doesn't think they need to repent. They think they're okay. Oh, we're okay. Look, I'm an important person. But the sinner repents and comes to Jesus by faith. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Jesus said to Paul, he said, "Go open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, and receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified." How? By faith in me, Jesus said. By faith in me. We're saved by faith, by God's grace. But we have to go one more now. Verses 8 to 10, because I have a question for you now. So pay attention. 8 to 10. "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Who's rejoicing? Who's rejoicing? Speak up, someone. No. Look at it. Whoever's rejoicing is in the presence of the angels. Who's rejoicing? The Father. The Father. It's His plan. It's His glory. The Father's rejoicing. That's what Jesus teaches us. You see, it's the Father's idea to send His Son here to save lost sinners in Newton, like us. Isn't that wonderful? Let me just say a couple of things as I close. Some of you ladies might know of some lady in a nursing home or at home, but really down, hurting physically, emotionally. And you ladies got together and prayed and decided to go visit that lady and decided to just befriend her and take a little time, not necessarily speaking the gospel the first visit, but nurturing a relationship and then sharing about Jesus. That lost coin, it takes an effort. That woman, when she was looking for that lost coin, she just didn't pick up a cover and find it. She had to sweep, she had to clean, she had to move things to find that coin. And maybe one of you men are teaching young boys baseball, or basketball, or soccer out in the field, and you spend a little extra time praying, Lord, how can I really befriend these young boys? How can I get into the position to talk to them? He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your children here. Thank you that you have touched their hearts, you have saved their souls, and the angels heard you, Father, rejoice over them. Oh, how wonderful. How absolutely wonderful that God would rejoice over someone like us. Glory to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.